not going to do anything. Doesn't mean you have to like it. It's no different than getting a colonoscopy.
I love those. And welcome, everybody, to Beer, Bourbon, and Balderdash. I am Wes Olson. Hee-haw.
I'm John Harrison. Yee-haw.
No, I'm
hee-haw.
Yeah, I'm
like
hee-haw.
The show?
Yep, like the show. Those are my pronouns.
Ski-daddle.
Hee-haw.
Hee-haw. Me-haw. My pronouns are John. Is that a pronoun?
I'm a John.
No, that's not a pronoun.
You're a John. That is a pronoun, actually.
They use that for... That means they pay for sex. Yeah. And I do not well. I mean, I do make more money.
And chores. Chores are a thing.
And maybe I'll just be I'd rather be a toilet than a hooker buyer. I don't know. That's just me.
Buyer. You know, show title. That's what it's going to be.
Do whatever they want with their bodies.
Hooker. Like, it's already in there. Hooker buyer.
Go ahead. But
okay. That was the show title. Hooker buyer.
Dang. That came quick. See you tonight. Yeah, no, it. I said that wrong. See you tomorrow.
Yep. See you tonight. I haven't
been drinking. What is wrong with me?
Maybe we should start that.
Start with drinking?
Yeah, we should start with drinking. No, happily married. I don't want hookers.
Yeah, me too. I'm in the same boat. But what if you weren't? What if you weren't happily married? Because I don't want to wish that on anyone. But what if Dana Jo died and you just need a little bit of affection?
I wouldn't buy a hooker.
No, you just go to Prost and get real drunk and hope for the best.
Yeah, not even that. It would be hard. Now it's a downer.
wouldn't be hard after you drink too much.
It wouldn't be hard after I drank too much.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, there you go. I guess I'm fine.
Hi, Wes. How are you tonight?
Whiskey dick. Good, how are you?
I'm all right. That was a start.
That was.
I think I'm in a mood.
Yeah, you sound like you're in a mood. That's good, though. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk to you. I think the meds are kicking in.
Oh, the meds? What kind of meds are you on?
Cocaine.
Yeah!
I'm just kidding. I don't do cocaine.
It's going to be a real party.
I don't even know where to get it.
Okay.
Probably the Italian restaurant up the street.
Yeah.
Well, there's just a social club where a guy got arrested for drug possession. It's like a known naughty people place.
Oh,
I haven't been in there because I'm not a naughty person. I'm a good boy.
Yeah. Are you sure?
I think so. So now that we...
I think so.
Let's pour a beer. I think that's a good way to get going. Well, let me ask you, other than your wife might be dying, how are you doing?
My wife's not dying. She's great.
Oh, that's good news. I saw her.
I will not pick up strange women from bars so I can get cockpox or... gifts of the vagi or anything like that. I will
put a hat on it.
I'll be herpy free.
Dental dam.
I don't want a hair piece. I don't want herpades, her burpees, or oral herpes, or terpes.
You know an awful lot about STDs. You must have gone to junior high.
I don't want crotch craters.
You must have got a grade school and junior high in the 90s because we learned about all that stuff.
Or Lip Krispies. That was the most horrifying thing in the whole wide world was sex ed wasn't like, and this is how you have intercourse. It was like, would you like your penis to look like a mushroom?
Yeah. Here's cauliflower dick.
Yeah, exactly.
This is good. Why is it green, do you ask?
Yeah. And note the 12-inch long Q-tip that we're going to have to insert into you. Yay!
In the words of Billy Bob Thornton in Bad Santa, I loved a woman who was unclean.
An unclean woman. Yeah. Well, that's what you get. What are we going to have? We're going to have beer tonight, and that beer is going to be?
Champ Lager. So this is actually going to be our second beer, I think, from Mast Landing Brewing Company.
I don't think we've ever had anything from them, honestly.
Did we not? I thought we had... Maybe I just have it here.
You probably have it there.
Gunner's Daughter? Didn't we have Gunner's Daughter?
I would remember Gunner's Daughter. Which would have fit right into our early conversation here. So,
maybe I just... It's possible I just have a can here.
That's probably what it is.
And I want to drink it.
Yes. Well, let's drink it. I'm excited about this.
This is another one where... So, Mast Landing is a pretty big brewery locally. They have 3 locations. This is different than most of the websites that we look at where... and I complain about them not like having information about who they are and what they do and like their history. This mm-hmm. one, they almost overcorrected. They probably heard the podcast. We better get this together before the years. So they, it's an essay, but it's good. Excellent. They have a decent history, so it's worth a read. But I am not going to read it here. Let's see. While they were friends, they were stationed in San Diego. A couple of sea captains. I didn't say that. I just assumed stationed in San Diego. Skip, skip, skip. Place in Maine. Mass landing. There you go. Boom. So this is Champ's Lager, and this is one that I found at the Star Market onesie twosie beer shelf.
Nice. I like those.
That was a good deal because they have it's like $10.99 for a six pack, and yeah. whenever they have the 16-ounce cans, it's like six for the price of four,
yeah,
or less often. So I always, this is how I, that's why we have so many of these gigantic cans, because it's value.
Yep, it is value.
So Champ's Lager, premium craft beer. You know it's going to be good when it says premium 5%, 1 pint. They actually don't say a lot on their can other than like, if you're pregnant, don't drink it. Brewed in Westbrook, Maine.
John, what? This is premium podcast.
Premium podcast.
Yes, we're premium. That's how you know it's going to be good.
Don't tell people that. Champ Lager is liquid pat on your back. The liquid pat on your back you deserve, a classic and familiar crusher.
Pat on the back.
With an easy drinking body and a snappy, bright finish, Champ Lager is brewed with locally grown Pilsner malt from the fields of Maine, giving it a delicious foundation to showcase reliable, winning style of beer. Whether you're celebrating the small successes of life or toasting to the greatest accomplishments, a couple of champs are the perfect accomplishment.
Oh my God. Did you know there's no rice or corn in this?
And I didn't know that, but thanks for the, thanks for the heads up. there is actually a reason for that being important. A lot of breweries, especially like the big three, they put rice in their beers because it adds alcohol without adding flavor. So that's the easiest way to make a really light lager. But it's also cheap. So it's like one of those things that they tell you that, I mean, it's not uncommon. It's called an adjunct. Anything that's not like malt, hops or yeast or water is called an adjunct. So that could be sugar, could be honey. In this case, it could be rice. A lot of places will use rice hulls in the brew to create a better filter bed so they get a cleaner rice beer. Holes. But yeah, rice hulls. But the big brewers use rice because it's cheap. So in this case, they seem to have not wanted to do that. So here we go. Let's pop it open, see how this goes.
Okay. That was a good sound.
Oh, I got beer on my microphone. Shit.
Oh yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, we like the ASMR of the. Oh, smells lovely.
It's pretty. It's slightly cloudy. Ready?
Yes.
Did you taste it? Ready?
Cheers. I have not yet.
Cheers.
Cheers. I'm drinking out of can like an old man.
I got it poured in a glass. So it's like,
ooh,
it's got like a candy flavor to it almost.
Yeah, it's very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's actually really delicious.
It is really good. And my glass is covered in bubbles like if it was a Coke that I just poured. So it's like really, really fizzy, but not like foamy.
Yeah.
Light, easy drinking. This is good. I like this.
Yeah, you can really, it's very much like a Pilsner.
Mm-hmm. Just that flavor. It has a like a candy flavor that I can't pinpoint.
I get some herbaliness in it too. It's kind of herbally. Mm.
Yeah.
That's delicious.
Very, very, very lightly hopped. Yeah, that's really well done.
Yeah, I'm looking at all their beers on their website. They got a lot of great stuff in here that I would like to try. They have a lot of dark sides as well.
Well, why don't you come out here? We'll take a trip. We'll do an we'll do an interview.
There you go. Gunner's Daughter is one of them. Milk Stout.
Yeah.
That's what
I think I have a can of that downstairs. Maybe I'll drink it in front of you.
Okay. Just drink it in front of me.
Is that a dick move?
No. I love watching you enjoy yourself.
Not putting things that in my mouth.
But yes.
Gross.
Gross. They have some malt forward ales too. The Kinyarwanda. Coffee flavor.
Buy beer.
Brown ale. I love beer. Beer is great. Beer does not like me. It bloats me and makes me fat.
Does it make you poop funny?
No, it just bloats me and makes me fat. Makes me fat. I can't drink too much of it.
I think this one's probably pretty good. It's pretty light, so the sugar content's probably pretty low. It's probably very well fermented.
There you go.
Fermented.
See? Nice. That was good. Already. No, but already. There it is.
Let's see. I learned something actually not that long ago about the burping part.
Yes.
And like a good bartender, the way they pour a beer is to intentionally release the carbonation so that you don't burp, because the carbonation just fills you up with air. And if you're filled up with air, you can't be filled up with alcohol.
That's true.
So pour it out so it fluffs and then you drink more.
Yeah.
That's my secret to overindulging.
I love it.
All right.
Trivia? I wanted to talk a little bit more. I don't know why it bloats me. I don't know. I wish it didn't. There's some days where I just want a great beer. Last week, I took my dad out for a beer on Friday. I went down to talk to him. We're looking at putting in an ADU in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the thoughts was maybe one of the kids can move in with him if we sell Dana's mom's house soon. Sooner than before the ADU is finished. And
so mom can come live with you guys.
Yeah. And so I'm just kind of noodling some things and just kind of see where he's at, because I don't want to impose on him. And so I took him out for a beer and that was nice. I enjoyed spending some time with him, but boy, I did not feel great afterwards. And then the next day we spent the night over at Max and Danelle's, their new house. And I drank so much with Max that it did not feel good.
He is an enabler.
Like the next day I felt like I was pregnant, not Danelle. Like I felt big.
Do you ever think
Except
that
Danelle
maybe,
doesn't look big as pregnant well, as she
just,
is.
She's just a little.
Yeah, she's a little adorable thing. Yeah.
Do you ever think, I mean, it's like people who think they have celiac disease because they feel bad after they eat a loaf of bread. Well, you don't. You ate a loaf of bread. You ate a whole big old thing of simple carbs and you feel like shit. That's accurate.
Yeah.
Do you think it's maybe just too much? But if you have just one, do you still feel bloated?
It depends on the one. Like if I have a Hefeweizen, like really yeasty beer, I don't feel great. If I have dark beer, I'm okay.
So that haze that's in beer, it's called a protein haze.
Yeah.
So it's probably just, you're getting a little too much protein in there. The beer proteins and could the vitamins. Be. That's where all the vitamins are.
Vitamins.
Or to your point, like it could be the yeast, the suspended yeast, but most of it is, most of this yeast goes away. Yeah. It filters out. It drops out. That's the goal. But I don't know.
Well, one of my goals this year was to lose 20 pounds. And so I've been hitting it hard with the exercise. And so,
how's it going?
Weekends like this, no, they don't do me any favors. Like, I'm getting big, muscular, but I'm not losing weight, so I'm not getting lean. I'm just getting fat and muscular, which really sucks. Let me see.
Put your guns up.
My guns?
I want to see him.
You want to?
I exercised once yesterday, so now my pecs are sore.
My goal is great. To get, I can bench press myself, like That's my own body magical. Weight. I know the way I phrase that. And I can deadlift my own body weight, but I'm not.
Oh, there it is. Oh, gee. Oh, geez, man. Settle down.
And then the triceps.
I'm married.
I got nice triangles on my triceps. My triceps have gotten very, very big. And my thighs have gotten humongous. Dana's like, what are you doing with your thighs? How come you're not working your arms? Is actually what she said. How come you're not working your arms?
Skipping arm day.
So I had ChatGPT write me out a 4-day workout plan for it's good actually, because I only told it to use dumbbells and kettlebells, and I substitute as I see fit. Like if I'm kind of like, oh, I got these 40-pound kettlebells, I'll just use those instead of dumbbells for this exercise because I already have them in my hands. Mm-hmm. And then like chest press. Like I do incline chest press, and then it wants me to do dumbbell chest press. But I'd rather go heavier than the 255s that I have for the dumbbells. And I go over to the barbell and I'll use the barbell cause that's more weight. And so I'll do that and I'll rep them out over there. And I understand like some days I'll do the incline with the dumbbells and that feels better than incline on the barbell. And then my Apple Watch, I want to do zone 2 training, but my Apple Watch, because it's an old one, like a series 2 or something like that, it doesn't do zone training. So I've been looking at other fitness watches. Mm-hmm. And so, and I want to get out of Apple stuff. Like, I just don't want to be an Apple fanboy anymore, even though I kind of already dove into it, but I'm trying to get out of it. And so I thought Fitbit, because that's cheap and they have zone heart rate training. Mm-hmm. But Fitbit is now owned by Google. So now you have to just went into one walled garden to another walled garden.
Should get a Garmin. I have a Garmin.
Yeah, I was looking at Garmins. They're a little more pricey because I don't care about all the other stuff. I just want it for fitness. I don't want it to like tell me I got a text message or any of that crap.
Yeah, you can turn all that off. Yeah. Mine's off on mine.
And then, but there's another company called Coros. A Coros Pace 3. So that looks okay. It's only like $200. Fitbit was like $120. But the problem with Fitbit is that it's like a little band. So it looks like you're wearing like a little bracelet. And I'm not sure if I like that or not yet. So
we'll I actually had a Fitbit for a very long time and I really liked it. Mm-hmm. It finally died. And so I gave up on it. But I really liked it, especially like when I would play soccer. It's small enough that like when I would play on teams, they wouldn't make me take it off because it's like covered in rubber. But like with my watch, they make me take it off.
Yeah.
So that was nice. So it depends on what you do with it. But I've had my Garmin for years and I love it.
Yeah.
Because you can program it for different activities and it'll automatically pick up what you're doing at times and
might like have to start go that route.
The activity tracker. Mine is the Vivo Active 3, which is pretty old. I've had it for like 6 or 7 years.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's
old.
Still kicking. Yeah. But it works great. I have no reason. The other thing that it's good for me, because I've said before, I have a bit of an anxiety issue at times. It'll tell me if I have an erratic heartbeat, just like a sign, like it says abnormal heartbeat, and it'll start vibrating like crazy, which makes my heartbeat go even more crazy. It's not, doesn't work you're making it worse, Garmin.
Yeah.
So
stop it.
But like there are times, like random times, it's allowed me to pick up on the moments when my body is feeling stressed.
Yeah.
When I don't notice it. And so like, it'll start going off at times when I'm like, I didn't even know. Didn't even recognize I was doing it. So now I can recognize it better, which is good. It allows me to deal with it ahead of time and know that it's coming. And if I know it's coming, just like turbulence, if I know it's coming, I can handle it better.
Well, that's right. You don't like turbulence.
Nobody likes turbulence. Anyone who says, I love turbulence is full of shit or I don't mind psycho.
I mean, at that point, I'm like, well, what am I going to do?
You're not going to do anything. Doesn't mean you have to like it. It's no different than getting a colonoscopy.
I love those.
You're not going to do anything about it, but... You don't have to enjoy it. I mean, some people maybe. I don't know.
That's so funny. Anyways, so we'll see. Because I bought it through Amazon, I'm just going to try it out for a few days. And if I like it or if I find it annoying, I might just send it back and get the other one. But we'll see. So stay tuned if anyone gives a crap about that. What's the trivia for tonight?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Beer 101, Beerology, Buzzwords, or Pub Crawl?
Buzzwords.
All right. Do it. You got the jingle ready?
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. You're on it, man. Close. Not me.
Jeez.
What was I doing?
Where's our studio producer?
It's that time again for Beer Trivia with Johnny the Hooker Buyer.
All right. Get the Hooker Buyer Trivia. Ah, jeez. I should have never said that. I'm just going to tell you this first one. I'm going to skip. It's stupid. It says, what color, if you're in a pub and you order a Pilsner, what color is the beer? Golden.
Yellow.
Stupid. P. Let's try the next one. Oh, this is true or false. It's easy. Classic English stouts tend to be sweeter and more chocolatey than Irish stouts. True or false? This is a good bit of trivia.
False.
True.
Oh!
Never had an Irish stout?
Actually, I haven't. Like, I've only had like Boddington's, which is a cream like a ale. Guinness.
Like a Guinness is kind of like is an Irish stout.
Yeah.
And it's fairly light and dry comparatively. English beers.
I haven't had an English stout.
Common descriptors of English stouts. Dark, almost black beers are chocolatey and nearly sweet. On the other hand, Irish stouts tend to be very dry and somewhat bitter, making them great to pair with a variety of foods such as salty fish and dried meats. Well-known Irish stouts include Beamish and Guinness. There you go. How's
Guinness that? Is an English stout?
Guinness is an Irish stout.
Yeah. Wait, which one is creamier and chocolatier?
The English stouts.
Oh, okay. Okay. So English stouts, I'm trying to find one. I've never had one. So that's great.
Have you ever had Sam Smith's?
No. Sam Smith Old Brewery. I mean, here.
The one you see the most is their brown ale. That's the one that's around most of the time.
But they have an organic chocolate stout.
Virtue signaling.
Organic. It's true. I don't give a fuck.
Did you find any other ones?
Brasserie DuPont. Fuller's. Black Cab. Oh, yeah,
Fuller's.
Orkney Brewery. Dragonhead Stout. Mm-hmm. Trillium Brewing Company, Secret Stairs Boston Stout.
Oh, yeah. Trillium is good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Belhaven Brewery Company, the Scottish Stout.
Yep. 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 Yep.
And Flying Dog Brewery, Pearl Necklace Chesapeake Stout.
Ew, gross.
Okay. Magic Rock Brewing. So a lot of these are probably like on the East Coast as well, right? Because I'm sure a lot of their ales and beers and stuff.
Let's see. What does this say? 12 of the best stouts to drink. They're not necessarily English style stouts, but left-hand milk stout would be closer to one.
Oh, I love left-hand milk stout. Yum.
Yeah, it's good. That's like intentionally sweet. Old Rasputin.
Yes. I love
Old Imperial Rasputin. Stout.
But that one's not, so I wouldn't find sweet. That one's pop you in the face. Big.
It's an Imperial
stout. Do you remember one of the earlier episodes that we did? We had that barley wine that put us on our lips like right away. Because it was like, remember it was like 13% or some crap like that?
Yeah. No, I don't remember a lot about that.
I missed that. That one tasted like grandma's warm raisin bread. That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yum, yum, yum. Sign me up. All right. Do you want another buzzword? Since that one was so easy.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Let's do this.
So easy, I didn't know what it was.
That's right. You got it wrong. You had a 50-50 chance. You still fucked it up. Bock beer is often described as any of the following except strong, summertime beer, ale, or German.
Summertime beer.
Nope. Ale.
Oh.
A Bock is a lager.
Oh.
Bock is a style of lager beer that originated in the northern German city of Einbeck.
Einbeck. But
Bock beer also gets its name from Bock, the German word for billy goat. A goat can often be found on Bock labels. Bock beers have a bit of a kick. They're strong and malty and usually 68% alcohol.
Yeah.
They used to be brewed in autumn, stored all winter, and tapped on the first warm day of spring. They're perfect with ham or pork.
I like ham and pork.
That's fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Fun times.
That was a good one.
Good times.
I once brewed So our friend Anna and Paul, when they had Orson, I brewed a baby beer. I brewed a baby Bock, and it was meant to lager until Orson was born.
Yeah.
And it was so good. There was like none left when he was born.
You should have made it. Oh, I wouldn't keep until he was 21, though. Do you remember the recipe?
No. Yeah, I do. I have it written down. I'm going to try to make it again. But it was so good. Like I meant it. I brewed it to age intentionally for at least 6 months. And so I would test it. And like the first time I tested it, I was like, oh, this is fucking good.
you should make it for Orson's 21st.
Oh, I got time. I could do that.
Yeah.
It was delicious. Time. It was really, really good. That was like one of the few beers I was truly proud of.
I miss you making beer. We're supposed to be making beer together, by the way.
I know. I was so proud of that beer, I wouldn't even submit it for a competition.
Oh.
Because I didn't want anybody else to drink it. I was like, I know this is good. I don't need anybody else's approval. And anyone who knows me when I talk about my beer, that's not my common statement. Yeah. Usually I'm like, I don't understand why people like this.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
But that's the one that you liked.
But that's the one I liked.
I had your Scotch Ale, which was phenomenal.
That Scotch Ale.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Are you ready?
I did make it a second time. It wasn't quite so good. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. That was great. Tonight's
That was good.
Tonight's balderdash word is leery poop.
Leery poop.
Leery poop.
Leery poop. That's a leery good voice poop. For that.
I know. I really enjoyed that voice. Let's do it again.
Leery poop.
Leery poop. That is what you call the like unofficial HOA president who likes to get on everybody's business and ruin everybody's day.
What
a leery poop. She is a leery poop.
What a leery poop.
Stop being a leery poop.
What a hooker buyer.
Leery poop.
Leery poop. I'm guessing.
I don't know who said that, but Rich. It's like, what's his name? Who played Saruman. Or Saruman.
McGregor? No.
No. And he was also Count Dooku.
McSomething? Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Christopher.
I don't know.
Damn it.
Look it up.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Leery Count poop. Dooku.
That's good. It's good. Mm. All right. We'll find out at the end of the episode what leery poop means, other than just being a very funny word.
Leery poop.
Okay. Mm.
I don't know. Suspicious.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a word.
It's a word.
I don't think my guess is right.
It actually has three definitions if you want to know the truth. So tonight you got us mystery bourbon. So John did this cool thing where he gave me 12 bottles that only had numbers on them. And they're all, they're not all bourbons.
Nope.
Okay. So they're mystery to me. Yep. And I'm supposed to do what with these?
Just taste them. Tell me what you think. It's a blind tasting. I thought you, so like when you do like beer judging,
yeah,
the tasting is blind, right? Or like when there's competitions for alcohol, you don't know what you're drinking other than maybe it's a bourbon. Like you might know the category or the class, but you don't know who made it, what's in it. You don't know anything. It's just like, taste it. Tell me what you think.
All right.
So I thought it would be fun if we did some of these where you tasted them first, tell me what you think, and then we'll talk about it. Excellent. Instead of like talking about the distillery and then tasting it.
We could do this. Here we go. Hold on. Mystery spirit.
Whoa.
What do you think?
That was fun.
Yeah. That was pretty good. It's a megaphone. I wish I could do something better. Something.
There you go.
Yeah, that's okay. Pretty good. But you know how like some, you know how when you go into a winery and they like give you a list of the things you're supposed to taste and then you start trying to taste those things?
Yes.
And if you don't taste them, you feel bad?
Yes.
The reality is,
nasty Irish woman at one does not like.
Joe, she's the best.
Yeah, she is.
I love her. Actually. She is the best.
But she won't tell us what it tastes like.
No, but she'll give you tasting notes afterwards. Yes, she's just like, taste it. What do you taste? Oh, and the reality is, all that matters is what you taste.
I already know.
You don't know. There's no way you know.
I already know.
Anyway. So here we go. Let's do it.
I already know. Oh, well, it's a single malt. It is a sherry cask single malt. So I know that much. Oh, I love that smell. Oh, my mouth is just watered. It's like already. Oh, who could it be, though? I mean, unless you bought a bottle of sherry cask Westland, which I actually have right here, and my dad bought me one for my birthday. See, right there, from Westland Distillery.
Almost guarantee you're not going to be able to guess this one.
It doesn't smell like Stranahan's.
No, it's not going to be a big name one.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Am I right on the single malt?
No.
Oh, am I right on the sherry cask?
Nope.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
It's some wine cask finish, though, right?
I'll read the description for you.
Okay.
This specific whiskey won at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition was a double gold.
Okay.
Some have said rye whiskey is made from the tears of distillers. In this case, both distiller and brewer alike went through the highs and lows of creating this city's first rye whiskey.
Oh.
This city says, hi, rye whiskey to name of the distillery, their first rye whiskey. Made in collaboration with local brewers, we fought through multiple setbacks to create a rye whiskey like none other. For our high, it's called high rye whiskey, is made from 70% rye, 30% malted barley. It has classic rye spice from front to back with a sweet honey and apricot finish.
Wow, I'm way off. This does not smell like a rye at all.
No, it doesn't.
Is it finished in a beer cask then?
You have all of the information about it.
Wow, it's got the banana smell. I don't smell any rye. I smell no mint, No, that kind of chocolatey. Oh God. Okay, let's drink it.
It's like crazy smooth, right?
I haven't tasted it. Let's go.
Oh.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh.
Okay, I'm excited. Oh damn. Oh, that's so good.
There's that right bite.
Yeah, but and there's a little bit of the chocolate. I don't get the mint. Mm-hmm. It's not super herbally. Mm-mm. There's definitely that banana. There's like a banana thing going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, which I would say is an ale thing. Like it was finished in an ale cask is what it sounds mm-hmm. like to me.
Is this James Pepper? No, it's not. This is actually out of Knoxville. This is from a trip to Knoxville.
Okay. So it's a Tennessee rye. Mm-hmm. Big name, little name, no name.
I don't think you'd know the name.
Oh, okay. God,
actually, not a lot of alcohol producers in this city in Knoxville. Mm-hmm. And if I had more room in my bag, I would have bought more of this.
Okay, well, this is fantastic. What is it? Who is it?
This is from. This is from Postmodern Spirits.
Postmodern Spirits. I hate the name.
Postmodern Spirits.
But love the taste. Yeah.
So we stopped in there. Helen let me drink a lot while I was there, which is great. We continually strive to redefine tradition by challenging the status quo. To us, craft distilling doesn't mean small and handmade. It means challenging the traditions and staleness of mainstream spirits. Craft distilling is about using flavors and colors from real ingredients and botanicals that were grown and not born in a laboratory. About putting your own unique mark in the spirits world that is filled with copycats. It's about working with local makers who are just as passionate about creating something new and refreshing and will never tell you how great our whiskey tastes because the bottle was hand labeled. I don't understand what that means, but.
Okay. Anyway. I really like this. I wish I could find this. I would buy this.
Yeah. We stopped in there. It was right next to a really cool beer bar, like one of the self-serve ones. Where you get a bracelet, you walk up and you pour your beer and there's like 150 taps. That place is great. It's right next to it. Got to have a little tasting adventure. They got a bunch of different kind of alcohols. It's in a cool old train station, like a rail station. So it's a nice, sweet building that it's in. And the people there were fantastic. So if anyone happens to be in Knoxville, I highly recommend going by there.
Oh, thank you for pouring me a big bottle of this, by the way.
Yeah, of course. So... this is the bottle I brought back. It's like a little one.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of room because I was collecting lots of beers and bottles.
Well, you gave me like half of it then.
Yeah. My
bless
suitcase
you. Bless you,
weighed
my
like
friend.
200 pounds. I had to buy another one.
Oh, yeah.
90 proof. This is 90 proof, so it's in a good spot. But I thought it'd be fun. I thought it'd be a good one for you to try. It's delicious, right?
It is super good. This is a good one. This is one I would give somebody and be like, you got to try this rye, and it'd blow their mind.
Yep. Completely agree. And that's like their flagship. So it's not one that's going to kind of come and go.
Yeah.
I would be really interested because they talk about working with local brewers, and I think there's something like 10 breweries there. There's actually a brewery trail in Knoxville.
Okay.
Or in Tennessee. I think it's in Tennessee. No. There is a whiskey trail in all of Tennessee, and there's a couple of them in this area. And they do a cool thing where every single place you go, you get your passport stamped. It's just a map. And they give you a poker chip that has their logo on it. The distillery has the distillery logo on it. And so everywhere you go, you collect the tokens, the poker chips. And then when you go to all 30, like there's not a lot of distilleries in Tennessee, less than you'd think.
Yeah.
And when you go to all of them, after you complete the tour, you get shipped a customized poker set.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's like the grand prize for doing all of them.
You play poker, right?
Yeah.
I have this beautiful poker set. And Nathan's always wanted to play poker, and I can't find anyone else that wants to play poker with him. And I'm very bad at it, but I'd be willing to learn. So I definitely need poker players. That's what I need.
I'm terrible, but I'm happy to play.
Okay.
Oh, here. Is this it? No, that's not it. Oh, yeah. So visit... oh, the Knoxville Ale Trail. Sorry, I was wrong. It's the breweries.
Oh, the breweries.
The Ale Trail is the one that does the...
yeah, and unfortunately, I can't get... the Postmodern Spirits here in Washington. They're a little craft place though, right?
Yeah, they're pretty small. Yeah, I don't think they distribute very far. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. So there's only, sorry, I misspoke. It's not the distilleries, it's the breweries.
Yeah, it's so cool.
But yeah, so you go and you get them stamped. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 stamps. And I didn't know about this until after we'd gone to several breweries already. But I think it would be fun to take a trip across the state and try to fill this out.
Yeah. I think we're in the same boat as you guys this year. I think we might take one trip, but that EDU is kind of looming.
Yeah, that's the big one, right?
Where we're like,
Yeah. I hear ya.
So,
I hear ya.
Yeah. Where you're just kind of be like, no, I think we might be doing some staycations. We were thinking about making our way down to Florida again. And our Florida listeners don't know this yet, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
If you make it down there, you should check out the Chupacabra and see if you can find it.
Is a Chupacabra a Florida cryptid?
It's the South. It might be like Alabama or Georgia.
Yeah, I always thought it was more like a Mexico thing. So it's like a border town.
Oh, maybe there's something else in maybe it's a different one that's there that's in Florida.
Yeah, we have some here though, right? We have cryptids here. I love cryptids.
Yeah. Well, so which ones do you know of?
Well, Bigfoot obviously is the big kind of western part of the United States cryptid. I know the Mothman.
Maybe that's it. Is the Mothman from the South?
I'm not sure. Florida cryptids. That's what I'm going to cryptids. Dana's cleaning out the back room in the basement for me to do all my podcasts again now.
Well, that's fun.
Florida cryptids. So a skunk ape is Florida's version of the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch.
That's just Florida man on meth.
It probably is. Florida panther, which is a puma concolor cori, is actually a thing, is a real and critically endangered species. But the Florida panther, the St. Augustine monster, I've been there, is one of the earliest recorded examples of the globster, an unidentified organic mass that washed up on the shoreline, initially thought to be the remains of a giant octopus. Its true nature has been debated for years, with modern analysis suggesting it might have just been the decomposed carcass of a whale. That must have been quite a blob.
Yeah, no kidding. Blobs show up on beaches fairly regularly, it seems.
Yeah.
I do find it like that was not a subtle attempt at jumpstarting our topic, but
I loved it. You didn't even have to say anything. We could have just gone in. Now yeah, everyone knows.
People would have known.
Our balderdashianitis cryptids, kids.
Feel like that was too smooth. That's
your
not
mom blew it. She gave away the secret. It's cryptids.
Sorry, tip on children. Next week's topic.
We don't know.
I know. I already brought it up to you. I'm thinking ahead.
Oh.
Do you want to know why I thought this? This would be good. We'll remind people of this next week. But I was watching the news this morning.
Yes.
And there was a house fire. Mm-hmm. And the chef of a restaurant, it was her like apartment. She lived there with her son or her dad or something like that. You know, they always like we're starting a GoFundMe. They're a wonderful person. They do everything for everybody. You know how they always have that like news bit?
Yep.
The owner of the restaurant she works for goes, so I sent you the message. I was like, I think doing a podcast on idioms would be really fun.
Yes.
Because this woman goes, she's like this, the chef of a restaurant. She's like the most wonderful woman. She'll take her shirt off for anyone. And I was dying. Like I almost spit out my coffee.
That's awesome. She'll take her, instead of saying she'll give her shirt off her back, which is also an idiom. She'll take her shirt off for anyone.
It's like,
wow,
I know what you
what
meant,
a woman.
But you didn't say that right.
That's so funny.
So I think that'll be the shirt off for anyone. That'll be a good one for next week.
Yeah, anyway. We should find a whole bunch of YouTube clips and we can just play a bunch of them and laugh.
Yeah, that'd be good for the giggles.
We'll watch everybody stop listening to our show after that.
I know you believe in women taking their shirts off.
I do.
Do you believe in...
I'm a fan.
Got a bit of a naked lady fetish.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the way we're made. I have a thing that I just like
one woman taking her shirt off. That's all.
I don't know if that's true, but let's move on.
Scene one, you've seen them all.
That's also not true. They're unique and beautiful.
But that's an idiom too, isn't it?
Maybe. Oh yeah. So do you, so I know there's like, there's, so cryptozoology is like pseudoscience and this like study of beasts, animals and paranormal that you can't explain, but people believe exists. So like Loch Ness Monster, Chupacabra, Jersey Devil, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, mm-hmm. all of those. Do you believe that any of these actually exist?
I believe that. Well, I mean, sometimes it's like, that could be possible. I think it's like, it could be possible. Not that I actually believe that it exists, but it could be possible. Like, you know, we find all of a sudden a tribe of lost people that we didn't know in this day and age mm-hmm. that we didn't even know existed. Like, how did they hide for all these years?
Yeah.
You know, so, but I think, you know, these guys that are out there like searching for Bigfoot, and there's been all kinds of documentaries and whatnot. And as a young person, I became a fan of Bigfoot because of Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes.
So that's, yeah. And actually they shot a couple of things in, West Seattle.
It's based in Seattle.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of shots where you're like, hey, I know that street. Mm-hmm. And so, but I think with like drones and infrared and all that stuff, you would find it by now. If anything, it was a man in a suit and, mm-hmm. or it was, you know, a ape, you know, an ape that used to be here, maybe one of the last apes. I mean, those things happen all the time where it was like the last one and no one knew it was the last one. And it was just kind of trucking around the area at a certain time.
I feel like we find like remnants and signs of things like both today and from like hundreds of thousands of years ago. And there is like no evidence that this thing actually existed. So like where is that evidence? Like, there's no way that like the, when people try to explain away by like, oh, well, they collect their bodies and then like mash them up or hide them or whatever. It's like, okay, fine. But eventually somebody's going to stumble on like one of these hidden bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? It seems very illogical to me that that would actually happen.
I think the same thing of like UFOs. Some people are like, oh, yeah, I got a video of a UFO. I mean, why did you use a phone camera from 2004 to take a picture of it? Like, with all the high definition options we have, this is the grainiest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, why is this the photo that I'm choosing to see? Even with the Air Force, it's like, this is the heads up display that they actually use to in combat. Is this little grainy thing that I can't tell exactly what it is?
Doesn't it?
It always seems suspicious to me. That's why I think it's like just an op. It's an op.
They used an old cell phone to take a picture of the old radar.
Yep.
Take a video of it. So it's like double grainy, really bad. Yeah. I always wonder that, like with the amount of cameras that are around, like some more of this stuff should be found. I mean, that doesn't mean that I don't believe that it could happen or that there's possible weird things. It's like ghosts or spirits or aliens are all good examples of things like I can't prove they don't exist. And I'm not going to say that I can.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily believe that they do. Like some of these creatures that they're looking for do kind of come across as like spirit based animals, which I find kind of weird.
Yep.
Like the Jersey Devil's kind of like that.
But
again, where's the actual proof? Like, you're going to tell me that that guy in, what, the 70s is the only one that had a video camera out ever to see one of these things walking. He was just casually walking across the stream, and they've never done it since.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it even goes, like, before. So, like, because sometimes myth gets woven in with creatures someone's never seen before. Like, imagine someone 200 years ago trying to describe to you a narwhal. You know, it's raining out. You're in the sea. It's kind of dark and all of a sudden you see this long, like unicorn type fish, whale, like coming out of the ocean. You've never seen anything like that before. I mean, what would you tell people? You're already a sailor, so you're prone to, embellish a lot of stories, including the size of your pee-pee. So,
and you know, probably have syphilis and scurvy. So your brain doesn't work quite right.
Yeah. You probably have mouth craters or whatever it is. And so, because you've been to every port, you know, and had all the scabies. But you saw this thing and now you're at a bar and you're, you know, eight beers
deep. Drinking the rum.
Yeah. And so now you're going to describe to someone, and then that story gets told because it's a fantastic story about this creature that you saw with this horn, like a unicorn. And the same thing like with mermaids, you know, outside of the, you know, the call of mermaids, which could have been whales. A lot of people thought that manatees, they're probably seeing manatees in those Caribbean areas that crash people on the rocks and stuff like that, because they're huge, you know, and, you know, they have the tail fin that kind of looks like what they would describe as a mermaid. And some of it's just myth. Horny guys sitting out in the sea.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be
bare-breasted women that were half fish.
You got to be really randy to think that a manatee is like, ooh, yeah.
No, you're just, you're drunk. You're drunk, and you've been on the sea for like months, so you're, your mind's a little weird.
Maybe you should put some seashells on.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, I find a lot of this interesting, but like, then there's ones like, like the Loch Ness Monster, ones that like live in water. Those are the ones where I'm like, that's a little more plausible because we don't know a lot about what's way deep in a lot of these bodies of water. And one of the ones that's always fascinated me, mostly personally, because I go out there all the time, is Lake Chelan has a lake monster story.
Oh yeah.
That's been around for a very, very long time. And they call it the legend of the Dragon of the Lake is what they call it. Dragon of the Lake. And it's basically a Loch Ness Monster kind of situation. But there's the, it's like, this is one of the, like the stories, some of the stories from the Native Americans that lived there were like, they were afraid to go on the lake because they thought the creature would tip over their boats. But that said, like, I feel like some of these stories, like, especially like there's a lot of stories that happen because of very practical reasons. Like in this case, the lake can get very rough very quickly because it's like a narrow, long valley.
Yeah.
And if the wind kicks up, it gets really wavy and you could get knocked over and drown if you don't know how to swim well. So I feel like it's a story that kind of came about as like, oh, well, like little Johnny went kayaking, got tipped over. We never saw him again. Must have been a monster.
Must have been a monster.
Now we're going to tell the monster story so people don't go on the lake. Yeah. Because that's where people die.
Sure.
Right. And like evolves over time. So I feel like some of that is that case. But there's a really famous story of that lake where a school bus went into the lake in about 200 feet of water. Kids died. People died. It was pretty tragic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that's then,
a very tragic story, John.
Yeah. Very tragic. Very tragic. So I don't want to minimize. Let's see. It was in 1945. It says the city lost almost an entire generation of students and the bus driver. So Lake Chelan, the city of Chelan is tiny. It's a very small agricultural town. They grow a lot of apples out there. And now it's a bunch of wineries. But when divers went to try to recover the bus, one of the divers said as they were looking down, there was some giant dark shadow that swam past. And it's said that he was so terrified by it, he wouldn't go back in the lake.
Huh?
This is like a professional diver.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. How do you explain that? I don't know. I mean, it wasn't an airplane. It was 1945. Maybe it was a cloud going over. And I mean, you never know, but yeah,
he's
a out.
Professional diver. I mean, he would know.
You'd think he would notice that. Right.
Well,
and for perspective, that lake is like crystal clear. It's fed by mountain glaciers. It's generally like beautifully clear.
It's also one of the deepest lakes in the United States.
Yeah. Third deepest, in fact.
Yeah. It's 1,486 feet deep. So there's could be all kinds of things lurking way down there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much traffic on the water that it would stay away.
Yeah. The idea, like, so like some people say the Loch Ness Monster is like connected. The Loch is connected by a bunch of underground tunnels to the ocean. And that's how you never
Godzilla.
See it.
Godzilla.
That seems a little like bullshit to me. But I mean, I don't know. I'm not down there. I haven't seen it. They've done a lot of research. And like, again, the only pictures you ever see of it are like grainy and old and usually end up being ducks. So I don't know.
Well, what's interesting is that with the water stuff, you know, it's always said that we understand more about space, which I think is false, than we do about our oceans.
Well, so, they specifically say the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
Like we know more about the surface of the moon than we know.
Which I also think is false. I don't think we went to the moon, so.
That's another podcast, right?
I really don't. I mean, we could talk about that later, but it's hard for me to believe with LADAR.
There's a reflector on it. You can see with your telescope.
Yeah. I don't think people have been on the moon. Right. So I think like with LADAR, it's hard for me to think that we don't know what's under the ocean with laser radar.
Yeah. But the Marianas Trench is 7 miles deep.
I know. And that's, and the pressure of going down there, personally, with even a machine would be, very hard to do. So
where rich people go to die.
It is actually where rich people go to die.
That's terrible. I'm sorry.
Who cares?
Thoughts and prayers to your family.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers.
You give a shit about what I have to say. Thoughts and prayers. That's going to bring them back. It's going to bring back all their bits.
Yeah, no, you're going to feel better, actually, about everything because thoughts and prayers.
Because thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Well, this is the Lake Chelan serpent or monster, or whatever, is akin to the British Columbia one, which is called Ogopogo.
Oh yeah, Ogopogo.
So if something like that has always been a mythological creature in British Columbia, I mean, it's not a stretch that these, and honestly, there could be a lot of ancestors to these type of dinosaurs. Doesn't mean that they're monsters. I mean, they're probably, not looking to eat people. They're probably just fine with all the fish in the lakes and stuff. But they could still exist. Mm-hmm. That is perfectly plausible as well, that they just get caught in these lakes and they're perfectly fine with that.
I mean, it's like they would have to live a very long time, an unnaturally long time, without us finding their bodies floating at the top. And maybe they don't do the same thing that most creatures do. But like a good example of something we didn't actually know existed for sure, but there was lots of stories, was the giant squid.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like there was no specimen of it for a very long time until I don't remember exactly how it happened, but
I think it was 2007 or something like that.
Yeah. It was like people kind of knew it existed. There were lots of stories of it, but it wasn't really ever caught on camera and we'd never found a body of it. But there's lots of circumstantial evidence, like all the damage to whales because they are, is it the gray whale? I think eats them or the sperm whale, the sperm whale eats them. And so you'd see like the suction cups on the sperm whale's face, which is part of where the story for, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea comes from.
Okay.
It's like that idea of this giant squid that lives under the sea. So there was evidence of it for a very long time because you'd see these giant suction cups and these like, this damage to these gray whales that were being hunted that were found. So that was physical evidence of something that we never actually saw. So it was like suspected that there were sea monsters underneath it. Also, don't quote me on the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I think that's true, but this is not a science podcast.
Oh no, it is far from being a science podcast. We never made it to the moon. Just so you know, it's kind of funny because my dad was listening to Coast AM. I think it was last week. And he comes over Sunday for dinner and he goes, this guy was on Coast to Coast AM, which is used to be Art Bell's old show. And I think George Noory is the host of it now. And he goes, this guy went on for 2 hours with all these great questions and all these facts about how we would never be able to make it to the moon as humans. And when we got there, we're like playing golf. And who videotaped the lander leaving, like the poor cameraman that they left up there showing the lander? But has like, it made a lot of sense. And I went, now you're on team. We never made it. It's so funny. But no, in 2007, they did discover in, it was the Ross Sea off Antarctica, the colossal squid, which was 33 feet in length and weighed 1,000 pounds. And that was the first time they ever had something on camera where they saw a giant squid. You can look it up on YouTube. It's actually a Discovery Channel thing where they show it. But how horrifying. Mm-hmm. You ever watch those YouTube videos of the deep sea creatures and how terrifying they are?
Yeah, they're crazy looking.
They're nightmare fuel. Mm-hmm. Like you ever seen like the Dracula octopus or whatever? And it's red and black. And it like pulses red and black because it just kind of like floats around like a cape. It's horrifying.
Yeah, they're crazy. They are crazy. Yeah,
I love that. I don't know.
Now I'm gonna have nightmares.
No, you're not. You're a big boy.
So I started looking up. I clicked on the link to Bigfoot, and there's a surprising amount of like stories from the 1800s and 1900s about issues with like groups of ape men. Mm-hmm. And like, this is one of those cases where like, I doubt it was a bunch of people dressed up as apes.
You think so?
But like how
in a ghillie suit?
I don't know. Like, yeah, like in this case, it's like 1924 Oregonian made national news when a story is published describing a conflict between a group of gold prospectors and a group of ape men. Although gold prospectors, maybe.
Trying to keep people away.
Dress up, steal your gold.
Uh-huh. That's what I was thinking.
That could be it. Gorilla men.
Yeah. I mean, just make up. I mean, yeah, people were fun. I think people were fun like 100 years ago. A lot more fun than they are today. Like they did a lot more crazy stuff that, you know, got into people's heads about certain things. It was kind of like the meme of the day where they could do something weird like that. And all of a sudden everyone's like, holy crap. Like, you know, there's like an ape man that roams around. And those kind of stories kind of fueled imagination more than they mm-hmm. made you scared. You know, unless it's, you know, and it was used to explain things, you know, maybe if some guy was into bloodletting and he's going around bloodletting his victims. Whoa, a vampire, which is also a cryptid, mm-hmm. you know. But although one of the funny things about vampires that I always thought was interesting was all the famous people or all the photos of people in the past that look like famous people today. You ever seen those?
Yeah.
And so everyone's wondering, like, is Nick Cage an actual vampire? Because here's a photo from a guy from 1860. It looks just like Nicolas Cage. I love those.
I think Nicolas Cage just looks like a vampire. It's where I think our brain is tainted because of that show, What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
Isn't he in that? No. Is that? No, he does a different one.
It's Renfield.
Is that what he does?
It's the movie Renfield. He's the vampire.
Oh, yeah. Is that good? Have you watched it?
I have not watched it. I have not watched a Nick Cage movie in a very long time. And there's two out right now that I would love to see. One of them is where he's a guy that appears in everyone's dreams all the time.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
Yeah, it looks funny. And then there's another one where the incredible lightness of being, or the one where he actually plays himself.
Where Nick Cage is Nick Cage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I actually want to see that one.
Yeah, I want to see that one too.
But I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
So one of the bigger cryptids that's all over television, I can't remember how many seasons they're actually into it, is the Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
And there's Sean Stevens. There's a podcast that I listen to sometimes. This guy's an ex-Navy SEAL. And the Sean Ryan show. And he had the guy who owns Skinwalker Ranch on. It's like a five-hour interview done in two parts. And he's a Mormon guy or whatever that believes that there are these Native American spirits that are out there. And one of the weirdest things, and he thinks other paranormal activity happens, like alien stuff happens too, is that they will find cows out on the ranch that are not mutilated in any way, but are drained completely of all their blood.
Yeah, there's some strangeness that goes. It's like hard to explain. Like, it's funny you bring that one up, but this is probably why I wanted to talk about this. I have a tendency to rewatch some of these shows I haven't watched in a while, so I just watched season two of that show, Skinwalker Ranch. And one of the things they have on it is they had a cow that died, and they hauled it. Like, this is very common for cattle ranchers. If a cow dies, they haul it out into like the back 40. Leave it somewhere where it's away from all the other cows, away from everything, and just let the scavengers tear it apart so they don't have to bury it. And it just takes care of the corpse. Yeah. And in this case, they drug it out there, took it way out in the back, and a year later they apparently they'd been checking it, but a year later they came back to it and they were showing it on video, and no predators or creatures had gone in and torn anything apart. The organs were still inside. The skeleton was still intact. Usually they said it takes like a week and the bones are scattered everywhere. There's nothing left of it. In this case, like nothing would touch it.
Ooh.
And there's like not a lot of things that would keep critters from, or like scavengers for digging in and tearing it apart. So it's like, it's really, and so there are a few things like, well, arsenic or some of the poisons that like scavengers would know and they would stay away from it, but like they tested for all of those and they couldn't find anything. There's like no logical reason that nothing would go after this body. This is very strange. I'm like, I'm not saying that it's like aliens or whatever, but like to me, that's very weird.
That was such a History Channel thing right there. I know. I'm not saying aliens. It's aliens,
but maybe. What do they do in ancient aliens? They're like, maybe, and if you assume, and then if,
yeah. Oh, aliens. Yeah. I love all those things. Those are my favorite.
Like, you just went down a very long road to get to aliens.
And Skinwalkers in particular, in case anyone's interested, the ranch is named Skinwalker Ranch, but it's actually called Sherman Ranch. But a Skinwalker comes from the Navajo legend of the Skinwalker, which is a harmful witch who can turn into, possess, or disguise themselves as animals. Although direct encounters with Skinwalkers have not been prominently reported on the ranch, it is said in Navajo lore that that's where the Skinwalkers roam. And so they're like shapeshifters, animal shapeshifters. I've talked to lots of people who have like felt like there's like possessions in their animals as well, where animals are possessed by spirits. I do believe, so as a Christian, I automatically believe in a spiritual world. I think I don't just think in a physical sense. I think in spiritual terms as well about things.
Why is it so automatic?
As a Christian?
Yeah.
Because Christians deal with the spirit. The Bible is full of a spirit and spiritual things. So demons, angels, things that you cannot see in a necessarily physical sense, but they exist. And when they want to make themselves known, they make themselves known, if that makes sense. So there's lots of examples in the Old Testament of the archangels and even of Satan himself. And there's lots of demonic things in the New Testament where demons make themselves known as Jesus confronts them. So there are those kind of spiritual things as well. And I believe that we don't have a soul. We are a soul that possesses a body already. So the possession thing is not necessarily a bad thing, as I believe I'm a soul that possesses this body. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So from that angle, you know, these things aren't, you know, I don't know what to feel about ghosts. I saw lots of paranormal things growing up in my own house, things I cannot explain, things that if I think about them now, they're so vivid in my brain. You know, it's just I've seen people come out of my closet when I was a kid and walk up to my bedroom and I followed them out. I was awake. Like, I wasn't sleepwalking. I wasn't dreaming. I remember not being able to sleep the rest of the night. You know, those kind of things where I don't, if I was hallucinating, it was a hell of a hallucination. I don't know why I was hallucinating at 10 years old, but, you know, and I felt like 10, you know, when I think back on those things, it's like 10 years old seems like, you know, you're not so little where you just kind of like made up something, and you're not so old where, you know, it just seems like a good place where you could maybe see something like that. I don't know, because your mind's not all shut down to those kind of things. And maybe that's part of the thing, is that as we get older, we believe less and less that that thing can happen. So we see less and less, or maybe if we saw it, we would reject it right out of the gate instead of saying, oh, well, that's a weird thing. Like the ghost I saw in my friend's house in middle school. That was the weirdest moment. I don't know if I told that story on the podcast, where I'm sitting on a couch and I'm watching Seinfeld with my friend who's sitting next to me on the couch, and his mom is sitting to my left in a chair. And then right next to the chair is like a dining room, and then there's a doorway to a kitchen. And out of the corner of my eye, I see something, and I turn over and I look, and I see this little kid, and the kid's peeking around the corner. And I kind of go like this, because I see the kid's face and he's smiling. And then he puts his head back. Like, it's like a deliberate like head move like this. He doesn't disappear. And I look over at my friend's mom and she goes, did you see the kid? Like, even as I talk about it right now, like shivers run through my body. And I went, yes. And she goes, that's the kid that died in the house. And sure enough, there was a kid that died in the house years before they bought it. And I'm like, what? And I can't explain it. And I didn't sleep that night either. I think we just drove around all night smoking cigarettes, playing video games. I mean, that's just, and I can't explain it, but I remember I turned my head and I looked right at it, and it smiled, and it just slowly moved its head back around the door. And I was just like, what? Because there's no kid in this house.
Like, you sure they weren't just fucking with you?
Native American family. I could have been on shrooms. I don't know.
It's like, oh yeah, cousin Joey's staying over.
Yeah.
We do this with all our guests. We just fuck with them.
Could have. But I have enough people listening to this podcast that know this family that are friends of mine that could vouch that weird stuff happened in that house all the time.
Did they have a sex basement? I mean, a swingers dungeon? Basement?
No, they didn't.
Shag carpet with the mirrored walls.
No, it was
a bar.
No, it was a scary basement though. But
basements are weird.
They're Native American family, and so they had the stories they would tell me were really odd too, of stuff that would happen in their culture. We'll just say in their culture. So, I don't know. You know, those are things that I don't know, and I don't have explanations for.
It's tough to like discount it. Like, there are some people that just come across as complete wackos, but like when somebody you feel is credible brings up a story like that, it's a different conversation. Like, how do you discount that? And I feel like most people know somebody who has some sort of interaction they can't explain.
Yeah.
I'm not saying just because you can't, this is one place where, that drives me nuts, is when people say, I can't explain it, so it must be aliens. Well, like, just because you can't explain it doesn't mean it's aliens.
Sure.
Like, that's what Ancient Aliens does.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
There's no way we could do this. I don't understand. Aliens.
Like, how did we build the pyramid? Fine. I don't know.
We just don't know. Aliens. Maybe there was a crazy ancient culture that knew a lot of shit. I don't know. Yeah. you're picking the narrative that suits you.
Yeah.
I guess. And that bugs me. But that's like an extreme case.
Yeah.
But like in general, there's a lot of stories that people have where it's just like, I just can't explain it. Like a UFO is a good example. We now equate UFOs with aliens, but really an unidentified flying object is something we just don't know. And in that show, Skinwalker Ranch, they do it all the time. They're like, "Ooh, look, a shiny thing in the sky. It's a UFO."
Yeah.
Well, correct. It's a UFO. But that doesn't mean it's an alien.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's like something nefarious or weird.
Bro, have you ever seen the Mother of God documentary?
I have not.
I think it's on Netflix. They thought every cloud was a mothership. No, it's wild. And these people are high all the time, so much so that every interview on the video, on the documentary, pupils are so wide. This is one of the creepiest, best documentaries I've seen in a very long time. I suggest if anyone wants to be creeped out, this is a good one. Because her mummified body just lays in that bed and it is horrifying.
Yeah, no bueno.
It's horrifying.
Well, with that, let's drink.
I did. I'm drinking more whiskey. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. What are you drinking now?
Oh, I'm drinking. I want to get more of their stuff. And because they're actually very, whoever runs their social media on Instagram is very receptive. Like if I send something to them, like, hey, here's our Substack this week. They always send back a smiley face or a heart or a thumbs up emoji. Nice. And it's Few is the name of the distillery, Few Distillery out of Chicago.
Like Mark Few?
No. Few Spirits out of Chicago. And this is their cold cut bourbon whiskey. So it's their, it's with cold brewed coffee. And it's pretty good. But there's some other Few stuff. They're pretty expensive, but they got these beautiful, nice square bottles. But I'd like to do more with them stuff. So, hey, as we kind of wrap this up, because we're hitting our time here. What do you think about doing a supplemental music show sometime?
I would like it. I could do that.
And we could like interview like FM radio or FM rodeo. Dang, I do that every time. FM rodeo out of Texas really wants to do like an interview. And so what I'm thinking is I'm going to reach out to them. Actually, I already did. I got their email. I'm going to say, hey, go on Ellen Beats, pick five of your favorite artists and songs. And one of them is yours that you would like us to play. And they'll make the playlist. We do like an interview. What do you think?
I love it.
Because we have enough.
I love it already.
We have enough space with Blueberry that our four times a month podcast doesn't fill all that space, so we could actually do more without having to pay more. Just call it Balderdash Radio. So
I like it.
It could be separate from the podcast, but it could be me and you. We could try to coordinate it with them.
Now, you might not know this, but I like music, like Do most you? People.
Well, that's great, because tonight our music is from Longy. It's the name of the band, and this song's called
Catherine's When are we going to play the pie holes on the...
you know, if you can give me a tape, I'll play it.
I don't think I want that.
Then don't ask.
We'll see.
Are you ready? So this is called Catherine's Wheels by Longy. I'm rocking.
Nice.
Did you like that?
I did. Like, I think we were muted during the song, which is for the best.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was saying, like, that's a very, like, classic punk sound.
Yeah.
With a very classic punk progression, loosely based on the 12-bar blues.
Yep.
Which is very common. It's like the first thing that everyone learns when they learn to play guitar. And so a lot of people,
exactly.
So, like, this would be fun for the podcast or for the music conversation, but like the Ramones were not great musicians.
No, they weren't actually.
They were great songwriters, but they were like very basic musicians. Yeah. They just knew how to use like what they knew to make really great songs.
Yep.
And that's kind of where punk came out of. It's like you don't have to be a great musician, you just have to be a great songwriter and have a lot of energy.
Yeah, have a ton of energy.
Yeah.
Cocaine helps with
Cocaine.
Cocaine Jesus. Helps with that. Not that? Jesus, cocaine. That?
Isn't what about Christian punk bands? Were they on cocaine?
Yep. They're high on Jesus.
Skillet.
They weren't punk.
No, they were not.
Well, folks, if you boosted during that song, all the value will go to Longy.
Please boost them.
Yes. And again, we're a value for value podcast ourselves, so outside of that song, if you boost it, it goes to us. And so we just ask for that value as you find this podcast valuable. And we want to thank all those that do listen and do donate. I want to thank Kyron at Mere Mortals. I think the last two episodes he's been donating. I think he likes us. I think he likes us, John.
Oh, thanks, Kyron.
Do you listen to Mere Mortals?
I have a few times, yes.
Yeah. Kyron, we like you too.
Yes, we do.
You're a good human being. And so we appreciate that. And again, we also have a PayPal account, so you can look up that. And, you know, it's just helping us keep this show alive, helping us pay for the hosting or the internet or whatever it is. Because, you know, John and I, yeah, sure, we'll do this anyways, but it really does help us if you guys give us that value back. So we appreciate that. Any way you can give that value back, we appreciate it. Yeah, Kyron supported our last episode, 93, with 460 Satoshis. So we thank you for that, Kyron. And before that, on Grandma's Closet, which was episode 92, he also gave us 2,222 Aroa ducks, as we call those. He says, it's a shame you're V4V only. You could have had 10 highly interested sponsors for this episode. So thank you, Kyron, for that.
Thanks, Kyron.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And usually our main donator, Craig, would be donating quite a bit, but he's in Africa with his son doing the Lord's work, and we appreciate him doing that. I'm sure there will be another interview coming out soon. Folks, thank you so much for listening to Beer, Bourbon, and Balderdash. This is the love child of John Harrison and Wes Olson. And thank you
but
for...
But not sexual. Keep it clean, Wes.
Thank you for making sure everyone knows it's not a sexual love child.
I mean, the way you hug, maybe people would think.
If you notice, I'm a patter, not a rubber.
I squeeze.
Yeah, you do squeeze. I squeeze a little too, but I'm mostly a patter.
You know, they say people who pat are not as affectionate.
Thanks.
Not as intentional. So squeeze.
Squeeze.
Don't fuck.